The Lord has used speakers on the Bob Jones University Chapel platform to challenge students, staff, and faculty to further service for Him. Now, listen to these speakers as they come to you on the program, The Chapel Platform, from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Dwight Gustafson gives a brief introduction. Today, our speaker is Mr. Jack Tillman, a former professor of Bible and now a staff member at the university. He delivered this message at Summer Chapel on Monday, June 8, 1987. When we think of evangelism for our Lord, we normally think of going around the world to a land far away. However, do we ever go down the street to witness to those in our neighborhoods who need Christ? Be sure to open your Bibles and listen as Mr. Tillman preaches from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Mr. Tillman's message is titled, God's Simple Blueprint for World Evangelism.
There are no announcements today. I know all of you look forward, as I do, to the summer school chapel sessions when we have opportunities to hear a number of men from our university faculty, and today Mr. Jack Tillman of our Bible faculty will be bringing the message.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn with me to the first chapter of the book of the Acts? Acts chapter 1, the key verse to this great book, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As we look at these words this morning, we need to realize that these words were spoken by our Lord. And these were the last words that our Lord spake while here on earth. We oftentimes put great weight upon the last word spoken, and I think that would be proper here as well. These words unfold for us the divine plan for worldwide evangelism. One man said it this way, these are heaven's blueprint for world evangelism. Now, we should note that these words were spoken to just a handful, to a few very ordinary people. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. This means that they were laymen. They had not had the advantage of the synagogue training of their day. They were just the ordinary people. But you know, I believe that is the ones to whom God speaks today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and following, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Yes, these words were spoken to a few very ordinary people, but I believe, my friends, that they were spoken as much to us today, just as much as they were to the followers of the Lord that gathered there on the Mount of Olives. And if these words are spoken to us, then we ought to heed what is said. I believe that in order for us to spread the gospel around the world, we ought to follow the pattern that is laid down here in this verse. I believe that there are five things that we ought to see in this passage. First of all, we need to see the need. We need to see the need. I believe that without hesitation, we would agree that the need of the world today is to see Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts again, chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My today, we live in a day in which the need is very evidently Christ. There has never been a time in the history of man where we have seen the growth of false religions and false cults springing up every day, all around us, a new group. And I believe that the answer to that is that men are seeking something. They are looking. They are trying to find that which will answer the need of their heart, the need of their life. We, our friends, have the answer to their need. We know that the need of man today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet how often it is that we keep silent. We do not tell others about Him. We let them go on blindly groping and searching for the answer. I don't think we have anyone to blame at all for the rise of the cults today, but the Christian church, who is self-satisfied, sitting back, letting people go to hell. How many times, even in our fundamental churches today, someone walks in, they're hardly greeted, perhaps someone nods to them, but no one seems to be interested enough in the busy day in which we live to really find out, is there a need there? Can there be a help to that individual? The need is Christ. I find also that the need for witnesses is stressed in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In order to follow the pattern laid down by our Lord here for worldwide evangelism, first of all, we must see the need. Secondly, I believe this passage tells to us that we must find the place of witnessing. Our Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It has often been said that we could paraphrase this to say that ye must be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, that is, in your home area. And for convenience sake today, we'll accept Greenville. Ye shall be witnesses unto me right here in Greenville, South Carolina. I often ask my classes when we look at this passage this question. Can any of you think of any reason whatsoever why we should not or could not be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right here in Greenville, South Carolina? In all the years that I've been asking that question, I have never had anyone come up with an adequate answer. Oh, there have been some excuses offered, but that's all they were. Certainly not a reason that would stand before the court of heaven. I generally would say to my class, well, I suppose if I was blind, deaf, and dumb, I might be able to stand before God and say I could not witness. But I'm not blind or deaf and dumb, and neither are you. And our Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me right here in Greenville, South Carolina. But He does not stop there. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria. That would be the surrounding areas in which we find ourselves. And again, the reasoning would be the same. Is there a reason why that would stand in the court of heaven that we would not be a witness in Judea, in Samaria, in the surrounding areas in which we find ourselves? And again, I've never felt that anyone has ever come up with an adequate answer. But the Lord does not stop there. He does not want to be misunderstood. Ye shall be a witness unto me right here at home, in the surrounding areas, and even unto the uttermost part. And oh, some would say immediately, I've never gone to the uttermost part. And I recognize, of course, that if God does not allow you to go, God does not call you to go, you perhaps should not go. But, friends, what our Lord is saying here is that we have a responsibility to preach the gospel, a responsibility to tell others about Christ right here at home, in the surrounding areas, and yes, even unto the uttermost part of the world. I believe that the Lord has a place where He wants you, just you, to witness for Him. It is a fact that there are people out there in this world who will never darken the door necessarily of a church. But they live next door to you. You buy gasoline from them or groceries. You do business with them. And it may be that God has placed you there to be a witness to that person. God has a place. When I was a student, we did an extension work for a couple of years in Gainesville, Georgia. We didn't have an automobile. Most of the time we hitchhiked. Hoped that somebody on the weekend would be generous enough to give us a little money so that we could take the bus back on Sunday night, because it's kind of hard to hitchhike at night. However, for 3 or 4 weeks, I was able to come up with a student to help that had an automobile. That was a luxury in that day. And our plan, usually, as we left on Friday afternoon, we drove over to Liberty, South Carolina, to a particular gas station and filled up with gas. I guess it was the cheapest we could find or something at that time. And then we pulled about 2 blocks down away from that gas station, stopped the car, and then we had a round of prayer, the men in the car, asking God's blessing upon us. We did that for about 5 or 6 weekends in a row. Stopped at the same gas station, under the same tree, to ask God to bless us. 1 weekend, as we were sitting there praying, the Lord really convicted my heart and the heart of one of the other men about something. And when we finished our praying, we were asking God to give us souls. We were asking God to bless our ministry that weekend. And as I started to speak to the men before we started, My buddy spoke up and said exactly what I was intending to say. He said this, "We have stopped for the last 6 weeks at that gas station 2 blocks away. And each time that we stopped, we very faithfully gave the young man that waited on us, it was the day before the days of self-serve, a gospel tract. But we had never spoken to him. And the Lord began to convict our hearts that we really hadn't done what we should have done. So we turned our automobile around, we drove back to the station, and we waited until the business eased a little bit, and then the two of us went in to try to talk to him. I'll never forget what he said. As we walked into the door of that little station, he just was beaming. And he said, 'You're the preachers that's been giving me these papers, aren't you?' And we said, 'Yes, we were.' He said, 'I've been reading them, but I haven't understood them.' But he said, 'Just a few minutes ago, a car stopped here, and a man I'd never seen before in my life explained them to me. And I found Jesus.' Now, we were thrilled for the man's salvation. We found out later it was another student who had gotten lost, had stopped there to ask for directions, bought gas, and led him to the Lord. But we had had 6 weeks of opportunity. Oh, we had sowed the seed, yes. But I think the Lord rebuked us a little bit, because here was a man, here was a place of service that we could have perhaps led that one to the Lord. Ah, friends, God has a place of service, a place of witness just for you. We must see the need. We must find the place. And thirdly, we must live the life. In Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." I believe the greatest setback to the spread of the gospel is the inconsistent witness. That one who is not living what he professes. But friends, if that is the greatest setback to the spread of the gospel, I have no doubt that the greatest asset in the spread of the gospel is that consistent, radiant, holy Christian life that the world can see and know that there's something different about you and about me. There's a very interesting time that this happens in the Scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. 2 Kings chapter 4. And in verse 8 it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." That sounds like a preacher, doesn't it? He comes at mealtime. "And she said unto her husband, 'Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually.'" Now, as I read the account, all that this woman saw or knew of Elisha, she learned as he stopped to eat. But I believe there must have been something in his life something in his manner that pointed to her that he was a holy man of God. Ah, young people, I believe the greatest asset that we can have in our witness to the lost is a consistent, radiant, holy life that we would live before them. We must see the need. We must find the place. We must live the life. And then fourthly, we must speak the word. Psalm 107, there's a verse that many of you know, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In Mark chapter 5, our Lord had witnessed to the maniac of Gadara, had cast the demon out, and the man sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And as our Lord was getting ready to leave, he desired to go with him. But in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." That was not going to be an easy task. It's never easy to go home where they know us best. But our Lord said to him, "Go home, tell thy friends." My, I believe that there was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. This one who had been so wild, this one who had scared everyone under the influence of that demon, now in his right mind, preaching Christ. I don't think you could keep him quiet. "Go home to thy friends and tell what great things the Lord hath done." You know, most of us are pretty good talkers. If you don't think so, just listen during the breaks in the morning and everyone is going this way. Or come a few minutes early to chapel and listen. We're all good talkers. It's part of our nature. But you know, I'm afraid that many of us excuse ourselves that we really can't talk about Christ. I think some of us are like the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, the first chapter, beginning with verse 4, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." Sound familiar? "I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." All my friends, we must speak the word. And finally, the fifth is that we must receive the power. As our Lord said to those gathered there, "Ye shall receive power." That was yet to be future, a few days The Holy Spirit fell upon them there at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But my friends, you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, possess that self-same Spirit of God. He has come to indwell your heart. You have the power. You don't have to wait. God has given to us already His Spirit. And if we will follow the blueprint that He lays out for us here in this very simple verse, thus the gospel will be spread by you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God's simple blueprint for worldwide evangelism. Oh, that we would obey it. Shall we pray? Father, as we look together for these few moments in Thy Word, may Thy Spirit take this Word from Thy Word and burn it into our hearts that we might be obedient to it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Chapel platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Mr. Jack Tillman, the title of his message, God's Simple Blueprint for World Evangelism, and also be sure to mention today's date. This message is also available on the internet at WMUU.com. The Chapel platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University. Join us again for the Chapel platform.